and gentlemen, for joining us at 2X Comic Book Club. Here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Talbot.
What is up, everybody? How you doing? Good? Thanks for coming out to Comic Book Club, the only live weekly talk show about comic books. We're all...
Yes, that was that's our fact checker. She's going to be checking a lot of our facts tonight. Correct.
Yes, that's good. Before we go any further, I want to introduce our man in the booth. Thanks for introducing us, Booth Man.
Booth Man! Resident supervillain.
Wow, you're really...
There's a bunch of nitrous in the booth tonight, so it's going to be giggling
It doesn't leak out because there's like there's a black scrim. Nitrous doesn't get through a black scrim.
Scrim, so it's just theatrical.
That's a theater term. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for coming. We're very excited to have you here, Pete. There was something you wanted to complain about.
I don't know about you guys, but I was pretty pissed about the Oscars. Persepolis was fucking robbed. Fuck Ratatouille, whatever the hell it's called. That fucking bullshit.
You told me before coming out here you were going to say Surf's Up got robbed.
Yeah, I know. What
you were like, Surf's Up, Surf and Penguins, best movie I've ever seen.
Best movie ever. No, Persepolis was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I had something to say, and then fucking
they
gave it to
see
a rat.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course I saw it.
Yeah. All right. That's a lie. Ratatouille, though, that was awesome, too.
You saw that piece of shit?
What?
It was a horrible movie.
Did you see Ratatouille?
No.
All right, fair enough. I'm very excited about the show we have tonight. We are celebrating, roasting. I don't know. Celebrating sounds kind of weird.
It's because it's the end of something.
Yeah, because it's. But we are celebrating the life of the series Cable, Deadpool, which ended it with issue 50, and we're very excited to have most, if not all, of the creative team here.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get this wrong. I'm so sorry. He's going to make fun of me, but Fabian D'Souza.
Ah, you killed it!
Riley Brown and Nicole Burns!
Yeah.
You killed him. All sit at the same time. It's nice. Very theatrical.
Yes, that's called a sit.
Oh, nice.
That's not called a sit.
Wow.
Did I get it even close? Did I get your name even close?
No, not really.
God. I even did.
It's good that you practiced it two or three times right before the show.
Well, see this. I said Nisisa.
Nisiesa.
What I did is right before we went on, I said it a bunch of wrong ways, so I made it go wrong. Just that. You're welcome.
No problem. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. We're very excited to have you here. So what's the reception so far been to Cable Deadpool issue 50? Pretty good, right?
Yeah. All the reviews I've read have been really positive.
Yeah, it was a great comic.
Thanks. Yeah, people just, they seem sad that it's ending. So, that's pretty much it.
Marvel's response was they were thrilled it was over. So pretty happy that it's done.
Yeah, there's a positive review.
And you've written it for the life of the series, and you came on which issue?
My first issue was 28.
Okay. All right. So, that's a pretty long run for a title, especially something, I guess, what would you call it? A tangential X title, maybe? Something like that?
A low-selling book. That's what we like to call it.
How did it keep coming so long? Was it the fans? Was it your perseverance?
I think it was mostly just the steadiness of the audience base. It wasn't making huge numbers, but it was remaining really consistent in how it was selling. And so because of that, it just was a rock and a bastion of stability. Yes.
A bastion of stability and minimal profits for the company.
Well,
I think they kept renewing us out of pity, for me mostly. Nothing wrong with that at all, actually. And then eventually, I wasn't worth the pity anymore, so they decided that,
But that being said, after this series, there's a Cable series launching, and then I also heard there's a Deadpool series launching later on. Is that correct?
Those are happening. They're not happening with me, though. So, all the announcements and things are coming out through Marvel, but I'm not personally involved with those.
Then we don't
want to
hear
about
them.
Yeah,
we're done.
If I can speak for us.
Yeah. Well, what was the process of putting this series together like for you guys?
From the start, You were actually the only one of us who was involved from the very beginning. I started working on it from the first issue, but by that time it was already approved and underway and the creative team was put together. So you can probably talk about that.
I got an unexpected call from Mike Martz, who's now an editor at DC, but I've known him for years, and he was editing at Marvel at the time. And I didn't expect the call because I'd kind of not been working for them for several months at that point. And he said, "You think we could do a book with Cable and Deadpool in it?" "Yeah, you sure?" "Whatever, yeah." And he goes, "Because we had a meeting and we're talking about characters and no one really knows the characters, so your name came up and we're wondering if there's a way to make a book with the two of them in it together." And I said, "And am I going to be writing this book, which you will then pay me to do?" And they said, "Yes." So then I just broke it down. I broke down a story. Back then, it was there was a wait for the trades mentality to how you actually structured your stories in the books. It was a dark and stormy time when Bill Jamison was running the company toward the tail end of his tenure, and everything had to be trade paperbackable. So
that's
in his mind, it's insider talk. In his mind, Cable and Deadpool weren't going to meet till the end of issue 6. I had the meeting at the end of issue 1, I think it was. And Mike Martz is stuck between a rock and a hard place because he knows what the right thing to do is, and he's got the president of the company who's putting his fingers in every pie he possibly can, wanting to stretch it out for 6 issues. A reader's going to wait 6 issues for the two title characters to meet each other. And then Jemis was willing to compromise and make it issue 3, I believe it was, if I recall.
That seems crazy.
We humored and said, okay. And then I think he got fired while we were in the process of getting Mike and I just said, we'll have him meet at the end of issue 1, which is what it should be anyway. Right. It's not Tales of Suspense. It's not an old 1960s split book with two separate features. It was a book that was supposed to have both of them in it.
But I don't even get how that would be like, even for a trade, to be like, yeah, let's.
Well, that's the other thing. Yeah.
Well, it draws out the mystery. Is Cable?
Well, I think the mystery ends Deadpool, right about
right?
here. Cable and Deadpool. They're.
I read issue 50 and I still wasn't sure.
Yeah. It would be like watching 12 episodes of Joni Loves Chachi and the two of them don't actually love each other.
It's like, that Keanu Reeves movie, Magic Mailbox or whatever it was.
That was a Lake House.
You lost me at Keanu
fantastic.
Reeves.
It's a fantastic film. Really touching.
You haven't seen that one either, have you?
You're weird.
Yeah, you're very weird.
If you've been reading the last set of issues, actually lately, it's Cable hasn't been in the book. It's just been Deadpool teaming up with a series of guest characters. So what we've been doing is crossing out Cable's name on the logo, so it's still visible, but you know it would cross out and it would be Fantastic Four.
What's the title?
Last Strange.
But you will notice that here for our finale issue, it actually does go back to saying Cable and Deadpool, and the reason behind that is because the post office got mad at us. For messing with the logo and putting in a title that wasn't the actual title.
Really?
So, yeah, you told me to tell you.
When will we get rid of that bullshit agency called the Post Office? Follow me. Let's go now. 33rd Street.
I was thinking about that the other day. I'm going to establish my own post office. I'm going to start small. I'll just do 1 block radius.
Nice.
And then I'm going to...
We go door to door and be like, please, I'll deliver your mail. who are you, sir?
But I can only deliver it at a 1 block radius.
Right.
Funny idea to be.
What just happened? What just happened?
Alex did not put anything in the title. Because I didn't know what the book. I was like, should I change it?
Yes, it was all because of you. All
right, really. But no, post office. That makes more sense.
What's great about this series is it has a very unique voice of all of kind of the Marvel Universe, definitely, but all across the board. And Deadpool, the character, has had that voice, I think, throughout since he was made. And it's sad.
I started him. It was my voice. It was my
right, but it's even
neuroses,
the
neuroses, as it were, that were in print.
Well, I guess what he's trying to say is you have a very funny, natural voice.
Could you sing a little bit for us right now?
Do you feel like, obviously, you know, the series got canceled, but do you feel like you still got to wrap it up to your satisfaction, or are there lots more stories that you wanted to tell with this?
Wow.
There were plenty more stories to tell, but it ended at a fine place. Okay. Is what it means. The minute they took Cable out of the book, it was a different book, and the book was over for what it was. So making it something else, whether that's two solo books with different crews, that's fine. That's called a publishing decision. But there were plenty of other stories to tell.
Yeah. One other sort of last question for you, because before we move to the rest of the show, but you've probably been getting this question a lot, but Ryan Reynolds playing Deadpool in the Wolverine movie, in case you guys haven't heard about that. Have you guys heard about that?
Yeah.
What's your opinion of that?
I think it's great. I mean, I've seen interviews with him for a couple of years where, like, he said that that's his, you know, like, people ask him if he could play any role, what would it be? And he mentioned Deadpool. And so that's kind of cool that, you know, like, he... that's a character he's wanted to play.
Some people say, like, King Lear. And he's like,
no. Exactly.
That's my chop.
I think it would have been nice if we could get that extra little bit of hype while the book was still going on.
Yeah. How about you guys? Are you happy with Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool?
I'm not sure if I've ever seen anything with Ryan
Reynolds. Oh,
that's cool. Well, my husband, he's here. We were talking recently about, like, who is Ryan Reynolds, and I was getting him mixed up with this other actor who he's not. So I think I'm happy that Ryan Reynolds is playing it, because at least I recognize his name, so I think that's cool.
Did you see Blade Trinity?
Yeah, exactly.
Or Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place?
That's those shows.
He owned them!
That's in the title.
That actually was a very funny show.
Yeah,
it was
good.
Just,
it was fun. Pizza Place, hilarious.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, good. Glad you guys are happy. Let's move on with our first section, which we like to call the stack.
Well, I'm glad you guys are happy.
Cool. First issue we're going to talk about. I already talked about this a little bit, but all right. Cable Deadpool number 50. What did you guys think about the issue?
It's the last issue of the series.
Yeah.
And
it was really a lot of fun. I mean, bunch of Venoms running around, symbiotes taking over the place.
Well, it's funny because with the way that they kind of screwed up the whole Venom symbiote rampage in New York, this was actually the best version
of it,
by far. Yeah. Like, the rest of the books were like, oh, it happened, and they're like, no, it didn't happen, it's happening later in Mighty Avengers. And this, it was like, oh, there's actually fighting, and it's interesting, and they're dealing with the reality of it.
Yeah.
Actually, I had no plans that actually be part of the Avengers story at all. That was like, it was just like, I figured the Avengers story would have been over a few months, you know, before this came out, and then it just, but it turns out it happened at the exact same time. So now, like, everybody, you know, I read reviews and stuff, and everyone seems to think that it's part of that story, and that's not the case at all.
But they're saying it's the good part of that story.
Yeah, well, hey, that's fine.
It's a nice coincidence.
And the other nice thing I think about the book is there's a lot of backup material in here. You guys got a chance to do a lot of sort of character biographies and thank yous and things like that. How hard is it to get something like that in an issue? I mean, is it a fight, or were they like, yeah, sure, go for it?
No, actually, since this was the last issue, they wanted to give us the extra space. So actually getting acquiring the space in the book and the extra pages and everything to do it in was not a problem. That was offered. It was actually compiling the stuff and getting it written and getting it put together in production. That was a bit of a scramble.
Right.
But it got done, so.
Cool.
She did a great job. Honestly, okay. I mean, a lot of times when you're working on a last issue, you want to be done with it. Get it out of the way, it's over, and she put together an excellent package so that the readers were reading the last issue and they've been following it for 4 years, I think feel that their time spent in the book was worth it because the people doing it showed them that they cared and gave a damn about it. So,
and it's a great point.
Not to get maudlin or anything, but it's the truth. I mean, it takes a lot of effort and work to make a final issue package like that.
With so many last issues, you feel betrayed. You're like, oh man, they didn't even deal with anything. And this, it was like, it all came to a nice end, and you're like, let's go out and do something fun.
What did you do?
I went and ran in the park.
Well, definitely.
It's like fun. It's healthy fun.
Yeah.
No, Some of us are trying to lose 10 pounds.
Why are you looking at me, dude? This is my stuff.
All right. Conversations before the show, season to the show. Interesting thing. All right, let's move on. Talk about, definitely pick this up, by the way. Let's move on. Talk about The Spirit, number 14, the first issue by Sergio Aragonés and Marc Vanier. What'd you guys think about this issue?
Don't ever pick it up, ever.
Boo! I agree. It was bad. It was unfortunate.
It's tough because it was... I was really loving it before, you know, the switch over to the artist and the writer, and it was just... It was so great. Now to have such a piece of crap out, it's really just tough.
Wow.
It's really unfortunate because I actually like Sergio Arganis and Marc Evanier. They do fun stuff. Mm-hmm. I like The Spirit. It's a great title, and it actually has been a really good title up until now.
Yep.
This is awful, and it's awful because The Spirit is not slapstick. The Spirit is not vaudeville comedy routines.
Well, it can be if you want to push it that way, but the jokes to you is like, isn't this old person saying something weird? There's like 10 jokes of that. Like, this old man wants to drink a beer. What? And it's like, I think that might have been funny at some other time or on some other planet. But yeah. Not here, not now.
Old people.
It's really, really unfortunate. It kind of broke my heart a little bit.
Holy.
Similar to the lake house.
Magic mailbox, right? Yeah, don't pick up this issue. So
I liked it.
You liked it? What'd you like about
Wait,
it?
Did you read the other ones before this?
Not all of them, but I have been reading some of them. Okay. Yeah.
What did you like about it?
I haven't read all of them consistently. You know, that's one of the things I like about it, actually, is that each one is self-contained. It's got a complete story. You can read it and miss one, and it's okay. Yeah. And this one, I wasn't really reading it, trying to compare it to the others so much. It's just, you know, looking and... seeing what it had to say. So, you know, I thought for what it was perfectly good. The art was fun and enjoyable.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's... That definitely makes sense, just in terms of it's completely different. So, I think anybody who loved the previous style with Darren Cook and Jay Bone...
Saying heart is good. Like, there was so much heart in that last book, and the characters seem kind of like caricatures of the last few arcs. And so I think that's why you read it, and you're like, oh, I like these people, and now they just seem like they're making...
Boing, 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 boing. Yeah. Almost literally.
We have a shorthand.
Sometimes I just look at it and I'm like, boing, 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 boing.
And I'm like, yes, exactly.
All right, let's move on and talk about The Incredible Herc 114. I love this series.
Oh, yeah.
This is my favorite book of the week.
This was crazy. Really insane.
Why is it your favorite book of the week?
The art's fantastic. I love the way they're pulling in the mythological elements, and they're telling an interesting story. You don't know what's going to happen. It's like a buddy comedy in some ways.
No, in many ways it's like a buddy comedy because they're buddies and it's funny.
I know what I'm saying.
Now the smartest kid ever is losing.
Seventh smartest.
Well, whatever. Seventh smartest kid. He's losing it. He's the mean and evil now.
It's basically the arc right now is Hercules, who, for those of you who don't know, is the actual Hercules from Greek mythology, is essentially, kind of against his will, teamed up with Amadeus Cho, the seventh smartest person in the world. Amadeus Cho has decided he wants to take down S.H.I.E.L.D., the international spy organization, and he's going to make Herc do it with him whether he wants to or not. This issue... One of the wonderful things about it is there was also really heartfelt, sad moments. Yeah. Amadeus Cho has this little coyote pup that he carries around in his chest. A S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Not in his chest, in his jacket.
Literally in his chest.
Where his heart goes.
He has this gaping, sucking wound in his chest, and a coyote is coming up.
Great. See, unexpected.
Yeah. Not true. But the coyote gets hurt. Very sad.
Yeah, it gets you.
Yeah,
it's really it does.
It was heartfelt.
It's like old Yeller.
Right, fact checker?
Apparently not.
No, yeah.
Anyway, I would definitely say pick up Incredible Herc. Have any of you guys been reading this series?
Yeah, actually, Coy Fong is a friend of mine, and he's the artist on there, and he's been doing an awesome job. Yeah. And I really liked Ares in this series.
Yes.
He's like insane. Like, he's completely out of his mind insane, and that's a lot of fun. And I know, like, I know Coy really enjoys drawing him. There's some good moments in here where he's trying to stop traffic with his like gigantic God of War guns, and then he like hits a Wonder Man over the head, and that was nice.
Great.
Yeah,
definitely a great book. Definitely pick it up.
Touching heartfelt comics.
It's beautiful.
What? How come everyone shits on Wonder Man?
Wonder Man.
I love Wonder Man back when he had his series and he was the actor superhero. Oh, and now he's wearing this shitty red trench coat.
He's made out of purple energy.
So? Oh, wow. That's stupid? Yeah. Oh, weird. Yeah. And I think it's a very cool character. Now he's ever, he's like the whipping boy for the Marvel Universe.
I think I know where you like him. You wear the same sunglasses.
That's true. That's true. Oh, I wish I was made of some kind of energy.
Cool. Let's move on to talk about the last issue of the Umbrella Academy miniseries by Gerard Way. How do you guys feel this wrapped up?
I love this series, yeah, and I feel like this was a real downbeat. This was, I think, the worst issue of the series.
What?
But it was still good, a nice end, but it was like the worst issue.
Yeah.
Holy crazy talk. The worst. No, this has been a solid series from start to finish.
Yeah, but it was solid because it was all about the ideas and the different ways they affected the characters. And this, it was like everyone dies, and like blood, and then ends, and like they're like, let's just sit in the ruins and think about what happened.
Yeah.
What's going on over here?
We're looking at the art of the interesting characters. This is like Morrison's Doom Patrol, or is this a little bit like that?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a riff on that, but it kind of feels like its own thing. I mean, the characters are crazy. There's Space Boy, who has a giant gorilla spacesuit body and a tiny little head.
That's what we were talking about. That bothers me a lot.
Really?
It looks uncomfortable. I don't know.
Issue 5 is all about how he's very comfortable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He dresses, he wears velour pants, he's very comfortable.
Look at his legs. He's got his poor diaper on.
I know, right?
He does have very tight legs.
Like, how could you
ever
do that?
He has a really big chest and really small everything else.
It's depressive. I'm sure
our minds are in the same place right now.
I just want to know, how would you have ended it? You didn't like the fact that... I thought it was a cool way to...
They built up the character, the violinist, to be this really cool thing, and in the end she just gets, like, wiped out. It's... I don't know. I
agree with you, actually. I remember us saying several shows ago that there's no way this series could end badly, and I don't think it ended badly, necessarily, but it didn't end well.
Yeah.
It just... It zips through it a little bit too quickly. It wraps up a bit too neatly because the first 5 issues, there's so many crazy ideas in there.
Yeah.
Just for no reason, suddenly these red time robots show up for one scene and then they disappear, and you're like, doesn't pan out.
Yeah. It was also funny the way they brought him to be, and they were like, they looked like they were at a circus. They looked like part of the circus. They're like, we have laser guns and no one's freaking out. You know, we don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, there's great stuff here. Definitely pick out the series. I'm definitely looking forward to that series.
Cable and Deadpool, better Steelers finale? Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Not as good a buddy book as The Incredible Hulk.
Oh, man. Who said that? No one said that. I mean,
I'm still amazed that you're surprised that a villain named The Violinist didn't really come through at the end.
I thought, who could have seen
that one coming? Stanley created The Violinist. He knew that he was going
to... Touché. I fear musicians personally, but
that's the violinist.
Beware the flautist! The flautist is coming for you! That's the second arc.
I'm really looking forward to that.
There will definitely be a second arc, though. The way this book sold, there definitely will be some.
Like hotcakes.
Exactly.
It's great. Let's move on. Talk about Hulk number 2 featuring the new, improved Red Hulk. Is that sarcastic clapping or clapping?
That was serious clapping. Nobody's
really? Hard to tell the difference.
Why are you serious clapping?
Because this comic kicks ass. It was all about the Red Hulk just trashing shit. Sorry, I got a little choked up in the middle of my sentence there. But like, absolutely. What's not fun about watching the Hulk?
This weekend we should go to the dump and just kick stuff around. I know you'll have a good time, and I'd love to watch you.
This book is stupid.
Yeah. You can't have my comic book.
It's just, okay, when we were talking earlier about Cable and Deadpool not getting together until the 6th issue or even the 3rd issue, there were 2 issues in, and like, we've seen the Red Hulk for the first time, and the whole thing about the Red Hulk is he's like the Hulk but red. That's not much of an idea. I don't know.
One thing I will say about it that I like about it is that they're treating it kind of like a horror movie, you know?
Yeah.
Where like the Hulk's like the monster in the movie instead of the main character. And originally, way back when, he wasn't the main character of like the original series. Rick Jones was. And
right.
so now
yeah,
it's
it
kind of like
called
the whole...
Rick Jones Comics.
That's not true.
That's
not true.
No. Alex Baldwin is not in Jewish. You're still idea. Rick Jones wasn't the star of the series.
Was it?
Was Alter Bruce Banner? Was Jekyll and Hyde? Was Frankenstein?
This is why I didn't want to sit in between you.
And it originally got canceled.
Well, I thought you should sit in between. But anyway, I think it's been okay so far. I'm with you. I'm not entirely understanding why it's so cool that he's red. Like, they kind of overhyped that point, but.
Yeah, that's the thing. Big reveal at the end is Abomination is blue now.
And it's also Rick Jones.
Yeah, great. So it's like, wait.
Here's my big problem. Not just to nerd out on you guys for a second.
Please do.
You guys ready? I'm going to nerd out in our comic book talk show.
Just welcome up!
It's
going to
get great. Okay, gamma radiation. It was the whole Jekyll and Hyde thing originally. And most of the time they've kind of kept with that. That gamma radiation, for some reason, brings out people's either... sublimated natures, their essential natures, or something about themselves that they haven't seen before. It reveals something about you. It's always a metaphor in some way. This, it's not a metaphor. I mean, I guess we'll find out eventually who the Red Hulk is, but I can't imagine that their essential nature looks exactly like the Hulk, but red. Or that
red means angry.
Or that Rick Jones' essential nature is he looks exactly like the Abomination, but blue.
He doesn't look
anyway. Nerd
over. Yeah. Well, nerd not
over. You want to go really nerdy? I mean,
yeah,
gamma radiation is supposed to turn you green. That's why all the characters in the universe are green.
Yeah.
Gray was just a mistake. They just realized it didn't work.
And it turns your pants purple, too.
That's how they explained why his pants always turn.
It's purple energy.
What color are the Red Hulk's pants?
Green, he looks like Christmas.
See, they're totally screwing around with this.
They actually have a show.
That's not the way gamma radiation works.
Dress the Hulk in appropriate
pants. He's wearing leather pants. He's wearing black leather pants.
You know what my favorite issue of Hulk was? When he was, like, he was smart when he was the Hulk, but then he was, like, angry when he was, like, Bruce Banner and he was little, and that was really funny.
Yeah.
He was, like, punching people with his Bruce Banner super strength.
Yeah. His nerd fists.
Don't get this. All right, let's move on. Talk about one of our favorite new series, Drafted from Devil's Due. This series, I've mentioned a couple of times on the show. I think it's great. It's really good. It's basically
dealing with a lot of heavy issues, man.
Yeah, it is.
Bro.
But it's a fun sort of action movie. Yeah.
Yo, shit's real.
It's real, man. It makes you think.
Alien invasion has come to Earth, except it's an alien invasion where they have drafted us into an interstellar conflict in order to save us, is essentially the concept of it.
Yeah.
But are we being drafted by the good guys or the bad guys?
Yeah, exactly. So it deals a lot with current politics, it deals with religion, what happens to the world when essentially everything we know changes. It's very big, it's very over the top in terms of its action and its stories, but at the same time, every issue feels like a very complete issue, which I really like about it. Have you guys read the series at all?
No. I just read it now.
Yeah.
I've heard really good things about it, and a former Marvel editor that I knew a long time ago was writing it, so I'm going
to
check it out in trade paperback.
I was really impressed, because it's issue 5, and I wasn't really expecting to be able to get what was going on right away, but I was surprised by how clean and easy to follow it was. I liked how, it didn't look cluttered. The dialogue wasn't too overly expository, and yet all of the information came across. And like you said, it talks about some interesting stuff. So
it's very cinematic. I think it eventually will be made into a movie.
Yeah, I think it actually has been optioned for the movie.
I know what I'm talking about.
Cool. So definitely pick up Drafted. Moving on, Runaways number 29 by Joss Whedon.
Tweet.
Tweet.
Someone whistled.
Oh.
I made a noise.
Everything just became totally weird for some reason. People don't like birds. You guys scared of birds? Alright, cool. What'd you guys think of Runaways?
I like this arc. It's got the J-Man on
this,
it.
Yeah, this is the first, not the first Runaways I haven't liked, but I just feel like there's way too much stuff. I'm almost lost in it. It's too much going on.
There's too much stuff without punch holes in it.
Yeah. I mean, there's like nobody crashing. Fist. Yeah, there's no one... No, like Sonic Boom.
No, you know what?
Sonic Boom.
I'm actually going to agree with Pete a little bit. I like the issue. It's well written. It's very good. I love Runaways, but it's too cluttered. You know, the Runaways is supposed to be about these characters. There's six or seven characters who are part of the Runaways. He's introduced probably like 30 new characters.
Well, and also there are four rival gangs. They've traveled back in time, and it's like New York City in like the 30s or something. And they're
Depression.
Yeah. There are like four rival like mutant gangs, and they all kind of look and sound a little bit the same.
Yeah.
And it's like, the Gold Brick Man's coming at you. You're like, which one is he? Where is he?
It's just they're all very weird, well-realized, very specific characters, but I have no idea who anybody is.
Yeah.
And then there's this great splash page where everybody's fighting, and I was like, I don't know what side anybody's on.
I couldn't read it. There are so many heads.
Yeah. There's a page, and it's just human heads. No, nobody.
But I like it. I like old timey things, though, and this is nice.
Yeah, it's great. It's like drinking a malt.
Having a licorice whip.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you can tell me later. I'm looking forward to how this turns out, I guess, more than anything. Right now, this is. It's almost like he set up all these characters so he can kill off as many people as possible.
Though my criticism is, The Runaways has been such a great, consistent book, and Joss Whedon took over, and he's like, all right, enough of that shit, here's my story, and then do whatever you want with it. Because it's going to have to go back to deal with all these other storylines from the earlier series.
Right.
And this stuff is like it's like a vacation from the regular book.
I don't know. No, I thought it was funny. Okay. Let's move on to talk about The Order, number 8. This is another one of our favorite series on the show, for the most part.
Sometimes your tone hurts me, Alex.
I have to say, this is the second time my heart breaks a little bit in the show. This series is so good, and I'm so upset that it's ending now, which I did not expect for the first issue. I know that when we were talking about it,
you thought it would end.
Problem with it is there's too much dialogue.
Well, that and the fact that it's the same stupid boxes every first, like, three.
It's
eight.
A story. That's the
it's
way
it's very uncreative.
It's very creative. It's a way of setting the story, structuring the story.
Every story begins and ends essentially with an interview of one of the characters that in some way is going to get some focus in the issue.
It's them being interviewed before the team was formed, and then they're kind of the central character in the story of.
It's almost like it's Lost in a certain way.
Oh,
like
Jesus Christ.
You're right, though. You are correct.
Thank you. What am I nerding out again?
No, it's not a popular thing to say.
I don't know about that. I'm just saying that, like, it's kind of a stupid, like, they're in therapy afterwards. Like, they're talking about things that happened, and then it's like, how does that make you feel? And then they go into more fucking dialogue about, it's just,
Have you guys been reading The Order at all?
No, I haven't, but it has so much dialogue. That's an awful thing. And we want... we just want characters to, beat up trains on train tracks and be red.
Oh, man!
All right, listen.
And yet, I agree with you 100% about The Lost.
For the record, I enjoy dialogue if it's done well, but sometimes dialogue for dialogue, like she was talking about earlier... It's just, I don't want to deal with
don't
it.
Don't make her implicit.
I think she was stating when she was talking about the couple comments before when she was talking about
it. I don't think it's dialogue for dialogue's sake. It's a ridiculously rich world that Matt Fraction said.
Right. What are you going
to see about that?
He's going to be busy for like 25 minutes.
Okay, actually, we're going to move on and talk about the next issue then while you're taking a look at that, because this is going to show how crazy you are. Okay, last thing we're going to talk about, Terror Inc. number 5. This has been one of my favorite series that's coming out right now. Basically, the entire thing is all nudity, people getting their limbs ripped off, sliced in half, people blowing themselves up, gigantic splash pages of huge explosions, while still being based in character and history and being awesome. Pete, you hate this series.
Yes.
Why?
Yes. I do. I hate this
series. What? And the product!
What? It's too weird, man. I can't get into it. It's
weird,
like they're ripping off everybody's arms and then they're putting them back on like a fucking weird jigsaw puzzle. They're like, whose arm is this? Oh, I'm gonna use this one. It's like there's
so
a guy who's
your problem is too much word or jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah. No, it's freaky, man. There's like people are ripping heads off.
it's just there. It's violence for violence' sake. There's no. I know. I said you guys are gonna rip on me when I talk about this because it doesn't. You know, go back to the Hulk issue. I know. It doesn't make any sense. I can get behind the Hulk smashing a plane. You know what I mean? But this is just, it's insane. It's just like there's no reality in it. So I
not like the Hulk smashing a plane. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Finally. I don't know. Too many words.
Yeah. I don't like it.
No, I just I don't know. I can't defend it. I just can't get into it. I don't know what it is about it that turns me off. Because when you described it to me, you're like, you're going to love this. And then you went through all the things, and I was like, ooh, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That's just weird. I can't.
You like the series also, right?
Yeah, I like it. I've only read two issues, this one and one other one, and it's cool. I like the main character.
And I
thought the story was cool. Even I thought it was too bloody, that like they're ripping this. Yeah, I tested that. I was like, I don't need to see this.
It's crazy.
But I think it's great. I mean, it's clearly a Max title. It's for adults. It's really well written. It's a great story arc. Each issue was great.
And even though you're the main character is like a dead man that's putting body parts on him, you're like, oh, he's very nice. And
it has a really, I think, well, it's very well written. The characters are very well written and delineated, and they each have their own very specific voice.
Maybe you just don't like good things.
I hope that's not true.
one of the only times Nicole asked me to change artwork in Cable and Deadpool, she told me that there was too much blood splatter coming out of this guy's head when he was a savage. So that's, you know.
So that's how I quantify that. Yeah. Too much blood splatter.
Yeah,
how much is too much?
That, 4 pints.
Well, this is a Max book, and Cable and Deadpool is not a Max book, so there's a difference.
That one issue, that was actually the first issue that I drew. For some reason, I decided that month it was going to be an all ages book, and it was an issue strictly about assassination.
Stop. That's what you do.
So yeah,
kids got to learn about that.
I remember Nicole trying to explain the rating system to me.
I'm still trying.
Wait, so what does that mean exactly?
And that's it for the stag. We're going to move on to the next section of our show, which is my favorite section because it's the section you guys make up. It's your audience questions, and for that, we're going to bring out Booth Bag.
Booth Bag!
How's it going, guys?
Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Thanks for coming to my show.
Your show.
Anytime
to
have you on my show.
Unbelievable.
Right, fans?
Woo!
Yeah, see?
Yeah, we love you.
Oh, see? I heard it. Here's some questions for you guys that the audience came up with. Nicole. Was there anything Fabian wanted to put in Cable and Deadpool that you wouldn't let him do?
Yes.
I was like, what?
There were a few things. One was, a few years ago, Marvel did a big crossover event called House of M. And Marvel got into some trouble because an artist drew an image of Magneto
that
it turned out... looked just like the official portrait of the King of Spain.
Why did it look just like the official portrait of the King of Spain?
Because I believe it was referenced from the official portrait.
And referenced is a nice editorial way of saying copied.
I wasn't there when the guy drew it, so I can't speak to that.
It was traced from a portrait of the King of Spain.
That's a weird source. For your art.
I copy everything for the King of Spain.
Lifestyle.
Magneto, he's very regal.
Yeah.
In that story. And so... So Fabian wanted to make a joke about it. I think Deadpool looked at someone's portrait and said, "Oh, you look just like the King of." And it was funny, but yeah, we weren't allowed to keep it because the wound was still fresh.
Wow,
the lawyers are still bleeding.
Yeah,
they run around the halls all apoplectic about stuff like that.
I think the only thing I wasn't, she told me not to put in besides the blood splatter was Domino's tiara. That had to go.
We both.
What was that?
I think you were with
Domino?
Me on that.
Domino.
Bradley
not like Domino's pizza.
No.
Bradley drew the character Domino, and she was wearing a tiara, which I just did not personally.
That was her character design. What am I supposed to do?
And usually I'm pretty objective, I think. But in this particular instance, I just felt like I had to exercise my editorial discretion and say no to the TO.
I saw you. I just didn't have updated reference, I guess. But.
You were going by the original Rob Liefeld tiara design.
Yeah.
Mercenary.
Yeah. See, no, I was going from the Princess of Spain.
Yeah.
The tiara.
One other thing that that I might mention about something that I told Fabian he couldn't do, I think it was in a letters page, and this is an adult audience, right?
Yeah,
all
totally.
Over 18.
There's my
mature audience, but it's an adult audience, that's for sure.
You don't know what I'm going to say, do you?
Probably not. Because
it burns in my memory still, but to hear it.
It's traumatized.
But,
that's going to be good.
You don't even know. It's really hot up here.
Deadpool making a joke about an ex-girlfriend and then comparing, like making some sort of comparison to a tuna sandwich and a memory about a tuna.
Wow!
No, I did not.
Oh, man.
All right, she talked me into it. I might have done
that.
You have to understand, Nicole would give me the letters pages, which Marvel was gracious enough to not pay me to do. And I would have to turn the letters around, usually in about 5.5 minutes. And so I just typed. And oftentimes with Deadpool, I don't think too much about what he's saying. I just
say.
It probably took me like a good 2 or 3 times as long to edit those letters pages.
It was certainly stream of consciousness.
So much swearing.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. This is
don't
for
ask
you.
Their permission.
I know I need
you
it.
You have
permission. Listen,
it's for you. You do what you gotta do.
You're right. You're so right.
Your hand is well in your
grasp. You're right. Package.
You wanted to see if he really did have a package.
You're the one with the package, and he's right. Stand up. Okay. How's that Batman Confidential art comic coming along?
Well, it came from Kevin McGuire.
Probably.
The artist in the audience who's supposed to be drawing it. Let's put it this way. It's a Batgirl story, and Kevin started it before Batgirl was shot and left in a wheelchair. So, so that's... Okay.
So
it's coming along slowly.
Slowly.
That's diplomatic.
Yeah.
What happened with that? You had a story that you had written with Batgirl, but then...
No, Kevin's drawing it.
Oh, okay.
Kevin McGuire, who's in the audience, who's a friend.
I got that part.
Yeah.
For 20-something years, and he's an incredibly, incredibly talented artist who's not very fast.
Ah, that's cool. Oh, okay.
I knew there was a... And he gets distracted, like chasing a butterfly sometimes, so like something passes his window, and he stops drawing for 8 or 9 hours. So it just takes a little while to get the stuff done.
Kevin. All right, so what was your favorite Deadpool moment that you didn't or couldn't see? The light of print. Like, was there anything that you had hoped?
Or had planned.
Or had planned that didn't...
Yeah. I guess story-wise?
That's not my question.
You know, I'm going to tell you, honestly, all things considered, Marvel was pretty damn lenient about letting us get away with a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
I can't really think of too many things. You reminded me about that whole King of thing and just kill a good joke,
yeah,
why don't you? But overall, I thought that they were really damn good about and pretty good sports about the fact they got made fun of so often.
Yeah, I got my Venom dinosaurs. So I'm happy.
Yeah, that was nice work.
Are there any stories that you would have wanted to do? You would have continued with?
Probably keeping Cable in the book would have been something else. Mostly because the book is called Cable and Deadpool. It seemed a little odd to me to not have the character Cable in the book.
You should have tried it without Deadpool as well.
No, actually. You should have tried to get away with issue 51 without either one of them. And just keep calling it Cable and Deadpool. Marvel probably wouldn't have realized for at least 5 issues. We could have
printed all the pages blank.
We have one more?
Yeah. Well, what do you guys think the cancellation says about the industry? And this is from Stephen Barry, comicsbulletin.com.
If
all of you could attribute your questions from now on,
I think it says that if the title character leaves the book, it's time to change the title. Both characters still have their books, so it's not like, you know, separately now. So, you know.
The book lasted 4 years, and that's about 3.5 years more than most books last nowadays. So if it says anything about the industry, is that the company was willing to publish a book that was only selling 27,000 copies for as long as they did, which is not a bad thing at all. Thank God those Red Hulks are out there and driving sales. Lower selling books can keep
going. Preach on, brother, preach on.
All right, that's it for our next question. Okay, next up is a little section we like to call the Week in Geek.
What? That is geeky.
There you go. All right, the Week in Geek, where we talk about stuff going on. You like that?
It's beautiful.
Thank you. I changed the music up a little this week.
Peppy, it's really peppy.
Thanks. First off, we are going to show you a teaser for Neil Gaiman's new movie that's coming out. It's being directed by Henry Selick, I guess, who directed Nightmare Before Christmas. So here's the teaser. Enjoy.
Next year, Henry Selick, the director of The Nightmare Before Christmas, and acclaimed author Neil Gaiman are hand-making something special for you in eye-popping 3D. Coraline.
You could stay here forever, if you want to.
About that.
I love the book. Though I will say a lot of his stuff are about girls who go in little holes in walls and then are in trouble. And then they go get back and they're like, God, that was informative and I won't do it again. Now, that's kind of this story, but it's nice.
Yeah, I mean, it looks great. I think Henry Selick, I love the stuff that he does. I love stop motion animation. Kind of cool to have it in 3D. That'll be interesting. What do you guys think about that?
Eye-popping 3D. Yeah.
There's that.
Cool.
Yeah. I think it looks pretty, although I have to say it seemed like the whole idea of it was that you're supposed to be intrigued by the door, and yet the tagline is, some doors were never made to be open, and I thought, that doesn't seem consistent with what you just showed us.
Yeah.
It seems like that door needed to be opened, otherwise there would be no story.
They should have a movie where somebody's like, whatever you do, don't open the door. They're like, okay. And then they have
no
lunch
kidding.
For 2 hours.
Yeah.
The movie's called Lunch. Cool. Yeah, well, anyway, that's coming out sometime soon, so check that out. One other little last thing in Week in Geek I wanted to talk to you guys about.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, but the Justice League, the New Frontier animated movie came out today based on Darwin Cook's series.
Fantastic series.
Excellent graphic novels. I actually watched the movie last night.
How did you?
I have my ways.
It fell off the back of a truck.
I have to tell you, it's not that good.
Aww.
Unfortunately. How many people here have read The New Frontier? Nice. Okay, that's a good subsection of the awesome.
That's all correct term.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a section.
Yeah. Let's hear it for The New Frontier section!
Anyway, books today, definitely pick up the book. The movie essentially just jumps from plot point to plot point of the book, when the book's not about plot points, really. It's not about the overarching plot. So nobody really gets any focus in the movie. There's some all right moments. The stuff with Martian Manhunter in particular is pretty good. But some of the dialogue is terrible, and the score in particular is awful and bombastic. Also, Jeremy Sisto, Creepy Billy from 6 Feet Under, plays Batman for some reason. And he's bad at it. So that's it. Don't go see that. And that's it for the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry, guys. I wanted to end on a little bit of a down note.
Yeah.
Nice. Let's move on with our next section, which is trivia. For that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right. All right, guys. This is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. We appreciate you showing up. So what's going to happen is we're going to give you a chance to win $25 free. That's right. Who would like a chance? Raise your hand. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Yes, nonchalant hand raiser. Why don't you come on down? What's your name?
Matt.
Matt. Audience. Audience. Matt. Okay. So how it's going to work is here's this. Hopefully that'll be here soon. Today's trivia is about Cable and Deadpool. All right, so how it's going to work is I'm going to read you the question. You listen to all three possible answers, then make your choice. Okay? Here we go. Question number one. Nice. Bob, the agent of Hydra, a character in Cable and Deadpool, is famous for his A, blog, B, eating ability, or C, his, what does it matter, bunch of non-silly-loving, canceling bastards. Sorry, I'm a little disappointed it's canceled, okay? So it's either A, blog, or B, eating ability.
Bob's blog.
There we go! One for one. Here we go. Question number two. Cable and Deadpool open up each book, starting in issue number 11, they did this, with a unique recap. Does it A, use a dream sequence every issue, B, break the fourth wall and talk to the audience, weird, or is it C, push the envelope and their only reward for being so freaking cool is being canceled? Or would you pick A, dream sequence, or B, breaking the fourth wall?
Well, I really hope I'm right. Breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah!
He turned to the audience. Why he said that was really genius.
I'm a little freaked out by the microphone, but this helps me get over it. Okay, here we go. Cable and Deadpool are being canceled after issue number 50. Would you say, A, this is bullshit, why do they always cancel the good comics? B, a good idea, because everyone knows you can't mix humor and action. Or C, Marvel hates us. First Spider-Man, now this. What kind of world are we living in? I'm a little angry today. I don't know.
It's really on your soapbox.
It's thanks. A hard one. But yeah. I gotta go with A.
There you go.
Nice.
3 for 3. Nice work.
Thank you, sir.
Enjoy your gift card to Midtown Comics.
Good job. You like the new music, Pete?
It's a little weird, but
turn
yeah.
up. Turn up.
Not as dramatic.
I guess the answer you're looking for is nice job on the music, Alex.
Yeah. All right, we can turn that down. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. But what are you guys looking forward to that's coming out tomorrow?
A lot coming out. There's a lot.
Choose one thing.
Oh, man. I don't know. I'm really excited about the first issue of... Because I was yelling, I completely lost. What was that comic?
Urban Monsters?
Yes, Urban Monsters, yeah. Number one. I'm really excited about that.
Great.
I'm looking forward to Crime Bible number 5. It's been a great series. Sad to see it go. Nice.
I was going to choose Urban Monsters just because a friend of a friend wrote it, so definitely check it out. But Gravel number 1 comes out, Warren Ellis. This is actually the 500th series that he's writing this month.
Hell of a milestone.
Yeah, hell of a milestone. That's great. Crazy, violent, magic guys. This should be pretty cool. What are you guys looking for?
Just pick one. So.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Thor is coming out next week, at least. Yeah, and Olivier Coipel is awesome. So, you know, I really am liking that book.
I'm looking forward to Adventures of College Lesbians, Volume 3.
It's been a great...
Are you editing that?
I wish.
Volume 2 was great.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard to follow up Volume 2, but, you know, I'm still looking forward to it. No, actually...
That's a fine answer.
We won the cold.
Pete felt there were too many words in that.
Actually, I think I said the title wrong because there really are a lot of words in it. But Picture of Dorian Gray is one of the Marvel Illustrated adaptations that that I'm working on. And not only do I recommend it because I'm working on it, but it really is a beautiful book. The art is really gorgeous. Sebastian Fumara and Julia Brusco are the art team, and it's turning out really nicely. So I look forward to it.
Probably has a lot of dialogue in it, though.
Not too much.
I think I saw All-Star Batman on that list.
Yes.
Couldn't I count my birthdays to the release of that book, so I'm really excited that it's coming out. I'm very much, and it's very similar theme to The Adventures of Teenage College Lesbian thing.
They're doing
guys in tights.
They're doing a crossover between those two.
And what do you guys have coming up that you'd like to plug? I mean, I guess, again, let's go down the line.
Okay. My next project is Hulk versus Hercules.
Nice.
Yeah, and actually,
what color Hulk?
Green. It's a bunch of flashbacks, and it kind of comes from the Hercules title. And my friend Coy Fong's working on that one also. And there's a bunch of artists working on it.
Hercules is red in that, though, right?
He's orange, actually. Gamma radiation. It does crazy things to you.
What else?
And that's all I've got at the moment. So
cool.
Yeah, don't pressure, man.
Work on some more projects.
Wow.
We have, and next week is going to be the first issue of the new volume of Dark Tower, and I believe you guys are doing a show about
that.
Yeah,
we are.
In collaboration with
we'll plug that in a second.
There's going to be another midnight release of the first issue at a bunch of retailers. That should be really cool.
Does that work, by the way? Does anybody show up?
The first one, Midtown Comics, there are a lot of people.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, it's a lot of weirdos. A lot of really weird dudes. Us, we're there.
Fabian, what about you? What do you have?
I have a Batman Confidential arc, the 5-issue arc. It's supposed to start in May, and it's supposed to end around September or October. But we're not sure when it's going to really end. Yeah. And I'm going to be working on DC's Weekly book starting, I think it starts coming out in June or July. I don't even know. It's called Trinity. And it's their new weekly book for the entire year. And I'm writing half the book.
Awesome.
In the back.
Good luck.
You and Kurt Busiek, right?
Yeah, Kurt writes the lead feature. We co-plot the second feature. And then I script the backup.
Cool. How far in advance are you on that right now?
Not bad, I guess. I don't know by weekly standards. I don't know what the production schedule is supposed to be like on one, because I've never worked on, I've worked on enough books that I had one coming out every week, but not a weekly book with the same artist doing the front. Mark Bagley is drawing the lead feature in every issue of the weekly book. So that's, I think, 4 times 12 is, 48 pages a month that he's doing.
They call him the octopus.
He draws fast. Mark's always drawn fast. I think that we're already plotting.
It's just because he spells ably scared.
Well, it just ends up looking nice.
We're plotting the 7th and 8th issues now, and Mark is drawing the 5th, I think. And he just started. He just started when his Marvel contract ended, which wasn't until the end of December. Awesome. So he started in January. He's already like 5 issues into it.
Is he a calm guy, or is he like just insane?
Mark's all right. He gets a little hyper, but you know what? He just wakes up, he starts drawing, he keeps drawing, and then he collapses, and then he wakes up, and he starts drawing.
What a beautiful
Quite frankly,
life.
Yeah, it's an incredibly physical, it's really physically draining to draw. Right? It's just exhausting, and I don't know.
But when I draw like stuff, I get not tired at all.
Sometimes like your hand just starts to cramp up and like hurt, and you have to start figuring out different ways of holding the pencil because you get calluses and like.
God. Yeah. Intense, man.
You did that one issue where you switched to your left hand, which actually came out really cool. Those stick figures that hold you.
Sometimes I'm literally like holding it like this, you know, because my fingers
Jeez.
All hurt. Yeah. So
can you do 48 pages a month?
I'd have to be an octopus.
There you go.
Yeah.
The
call,
yeah.
All right, two quick plugs. Next week, as mentioned, we have Peter David is going to be our guest on the show. And then we're going to encourage you all to go over to the Dark Tower signing, except for Nicole. And also, you can check us out 2 times a week at pulpseeker.com, where we do a show like this, but shorter and without guests. Before we go any further, Nicole, I think you had a little something that you wanted to present.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for inviting me.
No problem. And then we'll wrap up. So everybody just hang out for a second. Cool. How are you all doing? Good? Good?
So in honor of our final issue being released, I had for each of you a little gift.
What's this?
Where did you tell us? I took my size. Deadpool has a little bit of a love thing for B. Arthur, and Golden Girls was B. Arthur's second most popular series, and she did that. And we ended the series with the theme song from Golden Girls, which was a great touch by Riley. So
that was actually Nicole's idea.
Great touch by Nicole.
That's, I don't know where you would wear that shirt,
I don't know.
But that's awesome.
I don't know where you got the shirt. That's what I want to know.
Yeah. Well, great. There's a couple
thank
of people we want to
much.
Thank for being on the show. We want to thank Riley for being on the show. And most of all, we want to thank you guys for here every single Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Comic Book Club is recorded in front of a live audience every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater in New York City. To find out more info or to listen to additional episodes, go to popcultureshock.com/cbclub.